Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Shalom, shalom. I am your host of Blog Talk Radio, Sister Ashley. We are simulcasting tonight. You can hear us audibly on blogtalkradio.com/straightway. You can see us visually on our YouTube channel, Straightway Help Me. Maybe you want to go over there and watch us or see us. Thanks to everyone who listens, our audience, our subscribers, our supporters. Bless you all. I know most of you are amazed, shocked, and in awe that I have with me and we have with us tonight our elder, Elder Becker, a man of Yah whose time is very, very precious. So we brought him on for you, you, and you. So lots of questions, lots of talk about the feast we'll go for tonight. I'd like to also introduce my co-host, Sister Jennifer. You've seen her before. You've heard her before. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Sister Jennifer.
Shalom, sisters. I am Sister Jennifer. I'm the wife of Elder Rufus from Straightway, Georgia. And it's an honor for me to be here tonight. I pray everyone can hear me. And I think we're in the process of getting the chat room pulled up. So if you could just let us know so we can make adjustments.
Hallelujah. So for a woman, this dynamic is about the only time that we would spend this much time with an elder or a man of Yah that is not our own husband. So we are doing this for you, as well as the questions that we'll come up with. It's not for our answers. It's for your answers. So he's here for you, but we're asking the questions. So thanks for listening. And we are going to you, Elder Becker, who has been a great friend and a great brother to my husband and a great servant of Jesus Christ. Welcome to our show, sir.
Well, thank you very much. It is my privilege and honor to be here on Sisters to Sisters. Give you a second, I'll introduce myself, because there might be some people on the other end of that camera that may not know me. My name is Elder Douglas Becker. Your pastor referred to me as Elder Doug. So once in a while, people get confused. They hear Elder Becker all the time. They hear Elder Doug, and they think it's another elder in the ministry, and they don't realize it's me until they put the names together. But good to meet you all. Make your acquaintance. I've been a part of Straightway, actually at the community, for nearly 19 years. It's just a few weeks shy of 19 years. So I've seen a lot of things happen. Seen an immense amount of growth, met some beautiful people, and have some beautiful brothers and sisters right now.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for everything you do. He seriously, tirelessly sacrifices his time and every moment of every day for the saints, for his family, and even takes away from his family to do the work of Christ, which he is called to do. So wonderful having him here. Thank you, Elder. And I saw him as a brother, met him as a brother, and he was the first ordained elder on the land. And became such a useful tool for the ministry, a must-have for the ministry. So I'd like to first and foremost thank the Father for deliverance, for the Holy Spirit, for the acknowledgement of the faith of Abraham, and the truth of the mixed multitude, the truth of the Spirit. I thank him for the law, and I thank him tonight for our shepherd, Pastor Charles Gow. If you're watching, you or your family, sir, we love you dearly. Thank you for all you do. Look forward to seeing you at the feast, and I'm glad to be in this walk with you. Thank you for being a father to me, a friend to my husband, and a leader to so many people. Thanks to all the elders who support our elder, as well as support our shepherd. Your unity is so paramount, and it's very visually evident. So for us women, it's important that we see that. I'm very, very thankful to all of you and to the wives who get behind your husband as he submits to Christ. Thank you. It helps our unity as we grow in love together. So thank you to everyone listening again. We'll get right off into it, but I must jump to you and what's on your heart, your acknowledgement.
I'd like to acknowledge the Most High for his loving commitment toward us, his covenant that is given to us, and the fact that he's so faithful, and he will never break covenant with us at all, for his love toward us. You know, we never knew what love was until coming this way. And it's something that we learn daily, what true love really is. I'm just so thankful for his faithfulness. And I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for his provision over me, over his entire family, always providing exactly what we need. He's such a man of humility, a man of honor. And I don't just say that because I'm his wife, but he's also my elder as well. And finally, I want to acknowledge Pastor Dow, who worked very hard behind the scenes. I know many of you saw the video today. You know, he was out in the yard doing yard work. And, you know, you just can't find another pastor like that, a working pastor who puts in the spiritual work, the physical work, and really gives people what they need because he's living a life of righteousness. And bless you, Pastor Dow, and your entire family.
Hallelujah. I purposely would like to ask Elder Becker to introduce my husband, who has been a friend and a brother to you. Would you just send him a shout out for us tonight?
Hey, blessings, Deacon Bell. You have been a true friend and a true brother throughout the years, been a support. And in the early days, he tirelessly came over and listened to my mouth, and we used to talk about the word. He'd spend hours. So bless you, Deacon. I'm glad you're still here.
Hallelujah. Glory. So will you check our connections, Chef, Sister Sakina, and we don't have it on the phone, but we check it on our camera. Are we good? Everything's clear? Sins everywhere. So thank you to those who are sending in your Be a Blessing. Thank you so much. Check out our video if you haven't already on Straightway, this YouTube channel. Straightway Help Meets, we have a list of things that you could really be a blessing by sending and contributing for our feast coming up. You have less than or about 24 hours to call in for approval to come and attend for our feast days. So please be obedient to that time frame. You will not, no exceptions, right, Elder?
Yes, no exceptions.
No exceptions.
Pastor made that clear, no exceptions.
All right, so no exceptions. After 24 hours from this show, please let us know if you would like to come so that you would speak to Elder and be approved. Foundation donations, thank you. Patreon supporters, thank you. And thank you to our brethren, some who have traveled hours to help in the building of our tabernacle. Thank you to the monetary offerings and those who have supported the work and the building of hopefully the last, maybe the last tabernacle that we ever build. Elder, would you like to would you take a moment to say special thank you to everyone who's contributed their time?
I would. I mean, it is a beautiful thing to watch the brethren come from all parts of not only the United States, but the globe. And when they come here for the feast days or for just their own time in general, to expound that much energy, that time, just purely out of love. And as true Israelites, they expect nothing in return. They just get the gratitude of actually putting their hand in this work.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much to everyone who uplifts us in prayer and supports us. And I'm sure by this point, you're probably shutting your jaws back and going, okay, this is real. Elder Becker really is live. Also, this is there. We're not making it up. We've given you enough time to adjust. Hallelujah. So I'm going to kick off with asking some feast day questions and just picking his mind. So, Elder, let's start with the simplicity of our feast days, how we keep them. What would you say to the people who are new at keeping the feast days? What's it like? What we're supposed to be doing?
It is simplistic. We're very simple. We're not a people that try to make things complicated because our Yah is not complicated. So, I mean, you can read about the entireties of the feast in the Word. You can understand the way that our ancient people conducted themselves. They were commanded to do it. But now things have progressed, we're getting closer to the coming Yahshua. We bring the feast more in a type of remembrance of what he's done in the spring feast and now coming into the fall feast. And so the time that we're here is based, mostly to reflect and understand the importance of the feast days and what they mean as regards to our soon coming King.
Hallelujah. How important is it that we come together with the best that we know how, coming together in home fellowships or even traveling here if you're able?
Yeah, it's paramount. I mean, we endeavor to keep the unity of the faith. It doesn't matter if it's here at Straightway for a feast, at a home fellowship, brothers and brothers speaking to each other on the phone, whatever the case may be, and that's what we're striving to do. I mean, that's what makes the strength and the importance of Straightway, something that is so noticeable to so many people because of the unity here. Because we're not playing, we're not chucking, we're actually living the Word, being an example, and trying to get stronger as a people, not farther apart.
Hallelujah. So you take a lot of calls. I'd asked him right before the show how many calls he's taken just this year. Do you mind sharing the number?
So far, my calculation is somewhere between 1,500 and 1,600. I don't know for sure. I do know that the call volume is increased substantially, especially after Pastor Dahl got put on YouTube. But it was time for the Most High. You've heard his stories. You heard him tell that the Most High had pushed him, in the spirit on several occasions to get out there and get on YouTube and get it done. And this is the result because it's time for Yah's people to come here. So, yeah, I basically spend, it averages probably about 200 people a month.
Wow, taking 200 calls a month. And are most of them rejoicing or have problems?
Most of them have issues. That's what most of the calls are for. They have need of counsel. They have issues going on in their life like most people out there do. And the majority of them are new callers. They're not, regular saints. I get that. I'll get contact through the brethren through Polo or some other, avenue that they know me on a more personal level. But most people call here. It is because of YouTube. Now, for the first time in their life, they'll recount, stories after stories is that they may have been praying. Okay. And then there was Pastor Dahl. And then for the first time in their life, they hear a voice of authority. They hear a voice that, of integrity. They can feel that the the presence of the Holy Spirit. They know there's something about it that they've never heard before. So even if they're not real familiar with the ministry, you know, but they see the number behind Pastor Dow, they know that they can at least call here and get some type of leading or guiding a direction, whatever the case may be, whereas they couldn't get any place else. In fact, a lot of people I talk to, they are very surprised that we even call them back. I mean, they just marvel because most other people don't. They place calls, you know, and they never hear nothing. So they're just like shocked. I mean, sometimes they're actually breathless, and they have to go to actually get their breath back and say, "Wow, you really called." So,
wow.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Yes, you know, the number of calls that you receive is just mind-blowing, really. Can you please tell us, if someone calls, you know, say we have someone listening, and the sister puts a call in or leaves a message, what are some things that she should keep in mind if she is blessed enough to have your time?
What should she keep in mind? Well, first of all, that, like all things, you're calling us, so you're expecting us to provide you with an answer for whatever that may be. So as in any communication with anybody, you know, proper respect and, you know, honor to whom honor is due, that sort of thing. But just be ready with your – the one thing a lot of people do is that when they get on here, they take away from the reason that they called, right, the issue, the thing, and then – they start bringing in a whole bunch of other issues on top of that, and the whole thing gets kind of blown out of proportion. So stay focused on your call, what it is, what your question is, and then we'll get to the answer as soon as we can if I have an answer for you.
Hallelujah. Sounds good. All right. And so do you, we'll go back to feast, I know, but just for a moment, we'll get off on that because you asked about you speaking with a lot of women. Do you, when women call, is their main issue themselves?
Not always. No, it's not. It's most of the sisters that call here, most of the women that call here, a good majority of them, you know, some might have to do with visits, some might have to do with fellowships, but if it's a personal issue in life, a lot of times it's marriage. Sometimes this particular woman is coming into the knowledge of the truth and she's in a situation where she's being hindered, you know, by either husband or by some other family member. On occasion, you get women that, you know, they got problems with their children, you know, how to conduct their children, you know. And if they get into personal stuff or stuff like that, I always pass them on to another sister because some of the stuff isn't necessary for me to hear or proper. I mean, we have enough wise sisters in this ministry that can handle it, especially the new women calling for direction.
So that brings to mind, if there are women that do listen that do have the unbelieving husband, or there are young girls that listen that have unbelieving mothers and fathers that they live with, how would you suggest them to respectfully keep the peace safe in another person's home or in an unbeliever's home?
Especially with the women. Now, what I do when I deal with them is I tell them to make sure that when they speak to their husbands, they do it out of a biblical attitude, right? Out of a meek and quiet spirit, out of a good conversation, so the husband can actually see their example, that they're sincere in what they're doing. And the feedback I've got back is a lot of times it becomes very successful because they're actually doing the principles of the word, okay? In other cases, especially with young daughters, with young women, and they got parents because, you know, we have had plenty of demonstrations or that same thing come through here, is that I tell them, you know, you got to remember, the one thing is that the father is looking on the thoughts and intents of your heart, okay? Now, if you can't get down and do it just like Straightway does it or like the Bible would have you to do, don't get all bent out of shape about it, right? Don't condemn yourself in the thing, you know, which you can't do, right? Just do the best that you can because Yah honors faith. So if you have to go in your bedroom at night and you have to throw a sheet over you to make it look like a tent or a booth or a Sukkot, just do that. You know, there's going to be some way made for you can at least to perform the feats in some attitude, some degree.
Very,
you know,
good.
Yeah.
At this time, you can pose questions pertaining to the feast, and we will pick any that are mature questions that would benefit the audience. So please type them in. And we do have a buffering thing going on continually, so maybe we'll try to get them. Even if you have to step in Sister Sakina, and even ask them audibly. Just come out and let us know. So you are what we call the buffer or the vetter of callers, the one that calls go through and you take majority of the calls. You decide who else they're going to speak to, if they're going to, or you might pass it up to pastor if need be. You might say no to someone that wants to come, etc.
Yes.
So it's a very critical and even stressful, I'm sure, position. But tell us a little bit about your role in the body as a phone taker.
Yeah, first of all, honestly, it definitely was a learning experience. It's something that you just don't start off in. It's like anything, you learn to develop a discernment. And I found out over the course of time that, first of all, you can tell the people that right away that are not sincere. Okay, you got the part-timers that, for example, what I'll do with most everybody is I'll do an investigation. Okay, I start asking certain questions, and depending on their answers, I might go after that way, that direction that they're going with that answer, or I might, you know, take the leading up what they're going and counter with something else that's opposing that to see what their answer is, so we can reveal what's actually going on in their heart. You're going to find out that people, this is a lot. This happens a lot when people want to come here for a feast, okay? Is what they do is they'll call here and, hey, I want to come to Tabernacles, right? Okay. Okay, so I might say, hey, great, you know, good to talk to you. So how long have you been listening? How long have you been following? You know, so, hey, I've been listening like, 3 years. You know, I've been following Pastor for 3 years. And, okay, you have. So was it just YouTube or what? You know, so I'm trying to, you know, find out what scope that they're actually listening, okay, how much they actually immersed in what this ministry is putting out, okay? So they may say, yeah, I've been listening like 3 years, okay? And yeah, I really like Pastor. I said, really? He said, where are you from? You know, and kind of get, oh, I'm from Detroit. I'm just making stuff up, right? I said, really, you're from Detroit? I said, huh, what'd you think of the conference up there and Pastor getting the Hebrew Man of the Year, right? And it'll be like a pause, okay? So right away, I already know how immersed they are, how, you know, really invigorated they are by actually getting on board. So then they'll say, I didn't know he was up here. I said, well, he had it all over YouTube, right? So he talked about it. So I don't know how you missed it. And then the conversation will go a little bit. And that's just one example that, you know, a live example that I'll use to kind of get an idea where people are at. And then I'll just tell them point blank, you actually need a little bit more time to grow and understand who we are, you know, as a people, especially if you're allowed to come here. Because, you know, when it comes to the feast, you know, we don't want no spots in our feast of cheer. We do our best to guard against that. And we don't want no trouble. So if people take it personally, I can't help that. That's up to you. But you'll find out where people's heart are. You know, Bible said, try the Spirit to see whether it be of Yah. And when you put that in effect in practice, you will find out where people really are. You know, it's on countless occasions I've told, hey, it ain't time yet. Okay, I'll tell you, this is what you're going to do, right? So I give them a certain direction, and if I tell them, you know, after you've reviewed all the stuff or, you know, give the direction that I've told you to do, I want to hear back from you, okay? I actually challenge them to call back because I want to speak to them again. And the repeat callers is pretty low. I would say maybe 15-20%, if that. In fact, there's a young man that I was dealing with in Nashville. I talked to him about 6 months ago, and he wasn't just, you could tell he just wasn't there, right? He was just, he just get that witness that he's just not ready, right? So I told him what he needed to do, and I've been talking to him for 2 weeks, and he's made a huge progress, just absolutely huge progress, because he knows, you know, there's more than just, you know, the avenue of YouTube and Pastor on YouTube. So when he can expand and see us as a whole, as a ministry, and see what we're really about even more so than what's just passed. Because Pastor, when he puts it on YouTube, you know, it's he's fishing. He says that he's fishing. So, you know, he's trying to weed through, and then he's trying to get the bigger fish to come in here. So we're trying to take them a little farther. And so, yeah, it really is satisfying when they actually do call back, and you can see the growth because they obey, and that's part of the principle.
You want your no to lead to persistence.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're not on that phone trying to – that is not my intent, never has been, to try to dissuade or dismay people, you know, because even people that – You know, you can tell that they're, you can tell the intent of their spirit when they call. They're either contentious or, you know, they're looking for a fight or they're not on board at all. They just, they know the integrity when they see pastors speak on YouTube. And, you know, they're just looking for somebody that can actually give them some information. But those that are really, really in there, you can tell. You can get a witness to it. And, you know, sometimes they may have only been listening to 2 or 3 months, but you can tell the integrity of their spirit and what they've invested in themselves in the ministry that, hey, come on, you know, come on for a visit. We'd be glad to meet you, you know, and, hey, we make the way.
So, I had saw just only one video. I think it was another camp, but I think it was a Black Hebrew Israelite camp. They get together for the feast as well. And it was their first time taking off their tents or their booths or whatever. And they were driving from all over different cities coming together into a city park. And if you had the money, you could come. You know, if you got the $500 or the whatever, why aren't we that way? And I know you're already touching on it as you speak, but why don't we do that, Elder? Bring us some money and you can come.
Well, because we believe the biblical principle. That's why we actually obey the book. I don't even know how to even deal with that one, because it is a shame that somebody would actually try and do that and make merchandise off of the word of Yah. We would never even dare to do that. The one thing that people do find out about this ministry, we have such a reverence for the Most High and a fear for His ways and His word that, and they're amazed, like the offering plate, right? You know, we don't pass an offering plate around. We don't take offerings in the assembly here, and all this stuff is just, for a lot of people, it just floors them. It just takes them back. So when they hear, or they hear this example, that actually gives us, though we don't need the credibility, it discredits them. You know, come out, hand up, what's his name, the guy that charges $1,000 to do a deliverance, you know, Bob, whatever his name is, Larson, you know, that kind of crazy stuff like that. Hey, freely we have received, freely we give.
You know, you have a lot of people who come into the faith and, you know, they learn about the way, they're excited, they want to tell their family, they want to bring their family to the feast, they want to bring their family to Shabbat. Is that the time for their family to come?
Not always, no. It really isn't, because as we found out over the years, that people that are unprepared, not only spiritually but mentally, for what they're about to get into, because when they see the seriousness, this isn't Christianity, and so they're coming out of a mind still formed after the fashion of this world into the real truth, right? So you get somebody that's really excited, right? They've been the straight way, they've met the people, they're speaking to their family, but their family just kind of, you know, they're not, and the next thing you know, they really want to hope to get them here, because their thought is that if they can get them here, they can get them converted that way. All right, they can have a new, brand new family, and they're all together, and they're all feeling the same happiness and joys as the one that originally was here. But of course, as past experience has so often shown us, that you know, there have been people here, their family has come here, and in some course the family would get offended. So it's better for them to wait, to learn more, to actually see. You know, there's a sister here right now that did the same thing. One of the young ladies' sisters here, and she was loyal to the faith, and she kept the word, and was able, after a while, to convince her parents that she was sincere. And I guess they're coming, so hallelujah.
A very common question I get that's in the chat room tonight is for tabernacles, and sometimes it's even for other feasts, but are we required to work for work that week, or only on the Shabbat we're off, etc.? So do you get a lot of that, those questions too, about work days?
Yes, we do. More so when people get here, surprisingly. I don't get a lot of questions prior to the actual feast. You know, some people may ask, well, what it's like, or, you know, what can I expect? And what I normally do is just tell them to go back and watch the videos from last year. And I'll give them a few other things, but I think that's the best way to actually get it in your mind, is actually go back and watch the videos that, you know, the ones that Pastor Dahl up here preaching, or the ones that we shot on the land, you know, the tents and everything. So they can get a really good idea of how things are going. We do the live dinner feeds every day. So I think that's probably the best way to self-explain what we actually do.
Yeah, very good. So this one will probably be for us for a moment. It says, what do we cook during the feast? Is there something specific that we should make? This is my first feast and planning on using a tent in my front yard. A lot of individuals use a tent in their living room or in their front yard, so that's great. Good direction for you. And for cooking, nothing different, unless you are hosting saints, which you would want to pour into them, you know, your hospitality, and every meal will be phenomenal, delicious, and amazing with the best efforts that you could give them. But other than Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is a 7-day time period that we make unleavened bread and we eat unleavened bread, and that will be next April, March, April, May time frame. If you pay attention to straightwaytruth.com, you'll see our Hebrew calendar come up each year with our feast days on it, and you'll also see more about how we keep the feast, like you said, live. So anything else about how we cook? So much effort goes into the planning.
So much. You know, Sister Ashley, I was watching you today when we were putting the menu together and getting the schedule together. We really don't understand what goes into planning every meal, planning every event, planning for people to be served, everything. And I know I'm leaving out several things. Even the pan you're going to cook in, the oven you're going to use, the time frame you're going to cook, the time that you're going to get up to cook, where you're going to store your food, how much to make, all of that. There's so much that goes into it. And, you know, if you're behind that camera, you really don't understand until you come here and cook.
Yes, and so hours of planning, thousands of dollars, but it's all in love. We wouldn't have it any other way. Truly, it's what we want to do. And it's, I'll go to Elder with this, but it's very precious to have the people of the Most High God travel to where you are. And so we are to treat them as we would treat the Messiah. We take it very serious. We also do have expectations, but not false expectations or too high expectations of those even that are new for your behavior, the way that you would also treat us or our land. So do you want to go that direction and just give us some heads up?
Sure. I mean, first of all, people have to understand, I know they're excited. It's a feast. I mean, it's a feast in the Mohai. It's a time of celebration. You know, and so that's in the air already. People already, you know, especially the ones that have been here, but the new people coming, they speak in the home fellowships and stuff, and it's their first time here, and everybody's telling what a great time we have at Straightway. But what they have to remember is this is our home, okay? So first and foremost, it is our home, and we are grateful and honored to have you in our home and to be partakers of the feast with us here. But there are, as you have a home and you have certain rules that you abide in your home and you expect people that visit your home to, you know, honor the same thing, yeah, we do here, because of course, as it says in the Bible, you give honor to whom honor and custom whom custom. We expect the same thing here as you would at your home. You know, you come here, it isn't a free for all. You know, it's be respectful, be mindful, remember that again that we live here. You know, again, there's buildings out there. It doesn't mean because it's there that you're entitled just to go in that building. Okay, you understand, it's not because this is our home. If you need to be in there, you need to ask permission, just like you would anybody else's home. But we love to have the saints, and we love to have the fellowship. And, of course, if you have any questions about anything, feel free to ask when you get here. You probably know most of the people that are here, at least have some tenure with the ministry.
Hallelujah. So there's actually a spirit that ministers to Daughters of Pharaoh or Women of Yah that is rooted in defraudment, that tries to get you as a woman off your course of serving and of being that one that's going to maintain your cleanliness in your home and maintain your house environment, your meals each day, your children, etc. That, though it may in your mind be labor, is actually your role. And so our men are the laborers. We do have jobs that we labor in the vineyard as well. I might not go out and hoe the garden during the feast, or I might not go prune my blackberries, but I'm still going to be mother. I'm still going to be wife. And so make sure just to be sober, not to give heed to those voices that are going to try to take you out of your role. Jennifer?
That was my next question. You know, will there be work or is it a feast? Are we just going to take back and put our feet up and just enjoy?
Awesome. So she, sister says, are we supposed to cook a week's worth of food? No, ma'am. And do no work in the home during that week. And I know it's a pure question. You're really just wanting to obey the word. But no, you'll continue your responsibilities. And if there's ever a day or a time that we don't eat, it's Day of Atonement coming up on October 6th at sundown, Sunday night, you might say, until the following Monday night. So we prep that day's meal. Every sixth day of the entire year is our prep day. We also do no cooking on Shabbat. We warm up, we heat up the food, we still eat it, but we do our prep work the day before. So everyone is thanking you and thanking you for allowing us to come and share where they live. Any other thoughts in the phone calls, the questions, the vetting process?
I mean, you could take that. Just.
I want you to talk to us, Elder. Talk to us.
I guess the one thought I was given before, that I was actually meditating on today is the importance to understand what the feasts are. This isn't just, you know, you're coming for the festival, right? Your feast, the Moedim. But what you have to understand, it's the reflection of what it really means. So if you're not really sure, if you're new about what the real representation about the feast really is, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Trumpets, it behooves you, and you should have already done your due diligence, gone back and study and looked over the word, listened to the preachings and everything, so you have a better understanding the spiritual content of what you're getting into, okay? Not just showing up and we're going to have a few drinks and a good time type of atmosphere, right? Because that is the most important thing, to satisfy yourself spiritually, to grow spiritually. I mean, we're going to go through the motions every day. We're going to work. We're going to, you know, except for the first and last day, the solemn day and the first day of the Holy Convocations. But the thing that I can stress, understand what they mean in terms of the kingdom and in terms of the coming of the kingdom soon, especially with the fall feast. Instead of just being a partaker, not really getting, you know, like the Passover, okay, it actually gives a very important warning, you know, that you don't eat or drink it unworthily, because you can actually bring damnation yourself, or condemnation, judgment. So, yeah, you have to know the direness of the things that you're getting. Your heart should be prepared. You should be prepared to receive when you get here, especially because at no other time and during the course of the year, but during the feast days, you really feel the power and the authority of the Most High and the Holy Spirit when He comes down. I mean, you're going to be prepared to see Yah work and move in mighty ways, great healings, great deliverances. I mean, this is, even though it's a time of feasting, we're all about His business, even during the course of these 7 or 8 days. I mean, we're getting it done. And that's because the people of Yah are here in all one place, and we're going to take advantage of this and try to get as many people set free as we can.
I have definitely seen that power, witnessed this. It is here. It is here from the beginning to the end. It's a beautiful, beautiful time. So taking us back to that focus of spiritual things, what say you? What's your feast experience like, Sister Jennifer? Better every time?
It is better every time. You know, Elder Becker talked about the unity in the beginning, and it is such a beautiful every time you come on the land here straightway, the thing that you notice first is the peace, and that's what everybody speaks of. You know, peace, always so peaceful here. But the second thing that you notice is the beauty, you know, the beauty of the people, and just how everything, I mean, this is such a well-oiled machine. The unity is already here, and so when you're blessed and you're able to come here, and you get to experience that peace, and you get to be a part of that well-oiled machine. But, you know, it causes you to, you really have to submit. So things are already in place. You know, there are people that you must submit yourself to. You're going to be told what to do. And it shouldn't be a big deal. You know, you should have already dealt with any hesitation in your heart, any rebellion, anything like that. So when you come, then you're not messing up or distracting the unity that's already here.
Very good. And so what's some of the traditions of Straightway, Elder Becker, that others could do in their own homes, kind of practicing what we do, maybe even on the Sabbath? Example, coming into the building to pray, or, you know, keeping yourself going.
Exactly.
Yes.
In fact, when I talk to some of the home fellowships, and especially the new brothers that are actually starting to take people on board because they have the right kind of spirit to actually start bringing people in their home to build a home fellowship, I always tell them that, you know, you're a representation of what we do here. So whenever people are at your home fellowship, whenever they're at, you know, the communities already know this, but when they're there, they should be able to come here and see the exact same thing. So when you're here, take what you've learned here and bring it back to your assemblies. I mean, we have certain customs and traditions that we do, and that's what another thing that keeps us unified is because you can go anywhere, any place that Straightway is, and still see the same example of togetherness. We pray, we praise and worship, especially on the Shabbat. A lot of the assemblies, they sing before the meals, you know. They developed that. That was a custom that we had here for years. If you can strive to do that, so whenever you go up for any Straightway assembly, you know, wherever you're going to lay your head, you can expect the same behaviors you would here. You can see the same reflection.
So how much trust should we as women or as the people of Christ put into your selection of home leaders and elders? How much concern do you put into it so that we would meet that trust?
Well, yeah, it's a very serious matter because you're entrusting people's souls. You know, if you actually were to line, a couple people up for fellowship, right? And then you'll find out later if the one isn't properly ready for what it is, because people sometimes have an agenda that you're not aware of. And then you'll find out that they've been promoting their own doctrines and start teaching their own things and still say they're part of Straightway. And so having past experiences like that, we do our best to make sure that we have people, you know, when I send people to, I have, you know, people will call, they want to get on fellowship. So I'm going to use, you know, Houston because they get a ton of calls down there, right? And so Brother Greg has been so seasoned in doing this that all I have to do now is actually give him the information. I don't even have to vet the people for fellowship there. So he gets on the horn, he talks to them, and he already knows. But that's a sound group of people for a home fellowship. It's not a community, it's a home fellowship. So you know, you can trust sending people there, and that is a very good thing. I mean, you have the new communities up in Michigan, and they're actually starting to get stronger up there too, so we're starting to send people up there, and that fellowship is growing. You know, the one thing that I've learned doing a lot of calls is that I can tell when we have a strong fellowship or a strong home fellowship someplace, I'll get a lot of calls from that area, right, wanting fellowship. And because I know the people there, and the Father knows people are getting ready to be sent to these home fellowships, that they can actually take care of it. And you'll have other instances where you have other people that think they're ready to receive people. I won't get any calls from that area. So I actually use that as a measuring stick to see who is really, you know, the Father really has approved. And thankfully, that tells us that we've made, you know, the right choice to witness in the Spirit. So
great. So it's kind of a self-explanatory term, home fellowship. But for those who don't know, what is it? What's a home fellowship?
Well, home fellowship is everybody, they have, as the Bible says, church in the home, assembly in the home. So they all gather in one person's home, and that's where they have fellowship. But they have Shabbat service, and they do it just like that we do here. At least they should be. There's over the course of time, normally sooner rather than later, there's somebody that actually is the head of the fellowship that is the go-to contact person, and then they can contact us if there's something going on in fellowship or whatever. They have questions or anything, they get a hold of the elders. But that's what the home fellowship is. That's what it's involved. And so they're like their own little Straightway, whatever location that they're at.
So I'm just checking for any questions. Just quickly, does the ministry do activities for the kids? We say children, kids are goats, but you wouldn't know, so I hope that teaches you. Does the ministry do activities for the kids during the feast week? If so, what kind do y'all do? Typically during a very large event where we have 500 people coming, etc., it is almost complicated to get together with that many mothers and that many children. So what I do know happens is pre-feast, all mothers all over Israel, at least in Straightway Ministry, teach their children about the feast days. we may make, like they made paper shofars today because the Feast of Trumpets is tomorrow. We'll be in this building. We'll also be outside this building rejoicing and blowing the trumpets, sounding the alarm, and having a great time for the Feast of Trumpets. So our children are taught outside of the feast day what it's about, and then they get to enjoy the feast with us. So it depends on your home fellowship. Maybe if you were gathering in a smaller home or location, you would want to include the children in certain activities, certain days. I wanted to go to our theme thing for that. What does Georgia do for children?
We do exactly what Straightway does here. We include our children, in the teachings, and we may do some activities that talk about the feast. You know, we always talk about the feast with children so that they don't grow up not understanding what's going on, why this time is important. The Father has actually given us this time to acknowledge. So we include them in everything, but we don't have separate children's church, like you would find in Christianity.
And one aspect of what we do here is because we are a disciplined people, and if you've ever saw the difference between a homeschool child and a public school student, and some of you have public school students, and you yourself would even know that great difference. So for our children, warn them, as Deacon instructs me, to warn them of the behavior that they will see that is actually not acceptable from his children. So each father or mother might take some time out to really watch their child closely when these events come, because we are coming from different locations and areas and different mindsets, and the influence is very powerful. So you want to try to protect and guard your child as much as possible. Anything on that note, Elder Becker?
No, I think you covered it very well. I really do.
Okay. Anything from you?
I wanted to ask, what are some things that parents need to keep in mind if they're coming to the land for the first time and you have your children? You're at Straightway, right? Is it safe here? Is it so peaceful? Can you let your children roam around by themselves?
No, we know that's not going to work like that. No, you still have to take care of your children, be mindful of them at all times here. This is a country setting, of course, and even though you have, this is a very safe environment here, and we provide a safe environment. In fact, we really ramp it up here during the feast days. But still, as mothers and as fathers, you still have the responsibility just as you would back at your home where you traveled from. So that doesn't slack. This is also a farm type environment. We have a lot of dangerous things around here. We have woods, we have poison snakes, we have all that kind of stuff. So yeah, keep your children, keep them in your sight, and definitely take care. Don't just let them run. We just, no, it don't work well.
Hallelujah. And I always remember what my children are wearing every day. You know their color, and they're not going to be too far from you, because there is a lot of children, and we have a playground area. I'll interject this question. This was actually asked to me in Green Bay, and it was a comment that was like, y'all don't really do a lot of teaching on how to teach children or how to train children. So I'm going to go to Elder for a second, kind of what our standard is or why it's our standard. And this question was coming from, should I come because my children are not obedient yet, or I'm working on them, et cetera.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, you're still welcome, but you still have a duty performed as a parent. I mean, it comes to your responsibility of being a parent. I don't know really. To me, see, it's not a complicated issue. You have a child underneath your care. Yeah, you do your best to make sure that. I understand that people govern their children a little bit different. I understand that people are coming out of still a mindset that teaches it how to actually rule it, or how to govern your children, how to punish them or whatever the case may be. The Bible gives a better principle. And the parents here at this community, at Straightway, Georgia, wherever it may be, they definitely follow biblical principles when it comes to disciplining the children. It can't go wrong because it's a biblical principle.
Hallelujah. Thank you for that. And with our children on the land, most importantly, they are trained, because it's not in them, born in sin and shaken in iniquity, it's not in them to respect the aged or respect the elders. So that's one thing that you should pour into your child. Even for example, in my homeschool classroom, if anyone comes that's an elder or older than the children, they must always stand up and bow to greet the guests. That's just one way that you can put into them the humility of recognizing someone before them that is older. So just thinking biblically takes a lot of, it doesn't take a lot. It's very simple. But it just takes study. It takes research. It takes observing. So it is very important to be a part of, if you're going to be a part of Straightway, to be a part of a home fellowship, to have that interaction. You talk about the iron and iron.
Yes, absolutely.
Go ahead and speak on that.
Amen. Well, hey, that's just part of Israel, right? I mean, that's who you're going to be. Yeah, you got to, can't get into this mindset that you're going to try and, you know, put everybody away from you that cause you some type of discomfort type or what it gives. That's who we are. That's how you actually grow. That's how you actually get seasoned. You know, you're going to get trials, you're going to get tested. And the people that are going to do it the best are your brothers and sisters. They don't have the same, you know, we all don't have the same personality. We all don't see things the same way. So, but that's how you learn to overcome things. That's how you learn to, communicate and put things in the open so you can go forward instead of just stalling, get offended and get upset. Yeah, iron does sharpen iron. We've been doing it for 20 years. We got the best attitude right now we ever had, the most peace. So, through much tribulation you shall enter in. Brothers, sisters, hallelujah.
Very good encouragement. From you. Just love listening, huh? I do. Great listening.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. I do have a question, though. Going back to the phone calls that you received, you know, how many of those phone calls could potentially be avoided if people really took the time to access straightwaytruth.com, Pastor Bell's YouTube channel, Sister channel?
I think a great deal. Because it's always strange to me that they know the number, but they don't see the website right behind passes. So all they know is YouTube. But again, people get excited, and you know, again, the spur, hey, somebody's going to answer my question. I got somebody to call. Maybe this ministry will help me, type of thing. So they just kind of blur it out. They just see the number and they have some type of hope. But what I've done again is I developed this email packet that I can send to people, so it has links to all the other things that Straightway has, you know, to offer. It's just, I don't know, sometimes you have a hat of your legal counsel, your economic advisor, marriage counseling. It's just so many things that people call, but for the most part, most of them are genuine. Most of them are really wouldn't want to know. There's probably maybe 20% of the contentious or the complaining, or they want to know personal tidbits about what's going on or why Pastor Dahl is doing this or why he's doing that. And them are the people you just don't entertain at all.
Very good. So how do you instruct people to make themselves known? After all, you're usually talking to them already. So making themselves known to you, is that enough?
No, I mean, a lot of times we give them direction to call into Blog Talk, you know, get on a platform where everybody can see you and know you more in detail. Just me and you talking really isn't enough. I also tell them that, you know, I give them the other outlets if they don't know about it. I'm really surprised, and I'm actually really grateful to hear the people that know about Patreon that actually take advantage of it because they want to know more. They can invest more in themselves. They already know about the other avenues. They listen to the sisters. And that is encouraging. So but I lost my train of thought for saying that.
We were talking about how to make yourself known, and for the most people would think that calling into the dining hall is how that happens. So they might talk to me or another sister and get excited and introduce themselves, but we always do, as you just said, direct them to Blog Talk Radio, which will come on live tomorrow night, blogtalkradio.com/straightway.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else? That's it.
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, stay with the ministry, keep listening, keep following, keep watching. And I always tell them, if you have any questions, you can give me a call back, right? You got the number here, give me a call, leave me questions. I have people that are faithful. They call at least twice a month with questions. They got questions. But they're sincere in their questions, so.
Hallelujah. So thank you to, hopefully it's giving an answer in the chat room. Thank you. So. Someone has said that brothers and sisters bow to each other when meeting each other. No, it is only not required, it's only a conviction in a few hearts. So it's definitely not anything that we would tell anyone to do if it's not in your heart already. You might see some brothers that bow before the elders and give them a big hug and squeeze because they're just honoring. It's their heart and their love and respect for that person. So it's, because it is a foreign concept to Americans, if it was even seen by the outward world, it would look like a form of worship. And it's merely just as a woman, for those of, a few of us who might do it to a man. And first of all, men do not bow to sisters. Absolutely not. Neither do they get on one knee and bow before a woman when they ask her to get married. So it's in the woman's heart to just acknowledge the man. Just a simple head nod would do, but only if you are sincere with it and not trying to draw any form of attention with it. It must be in your heart.
And, you know, coming this way, you learn that the ways of the world, you know, what we learned is completely contrary to the ways of the Most High. And a lot of times, you know, to do less means so much more. It means so much honor. You don't have to run your mouth and, you know, you don't have to use a bunch of words. A simple hand nod is enough. You know, a simple bow, really humbling your heart to acknowledge this person, to acknowledge his brother or his sister is really all you.
Hallelujah. Why don't you bow to me when you see me each day, Elder? I don't understand. I'm being funny, but why is it not in you, sir? What's going on here?
Well, I mean, because the Bible speaks about that's a biblical principle. Men don't bow down to women. Women bow down to men.
Yes, sir.
I mean, how much more can you say than that?
How much more can you say? Yes, sir. So someone is asking, when's the best time to call you, morning, night, or certain day? And interesting, I must interject because this is funny. There is no best time or certain time. We all take phone calls and messages, right, for Elder. But I will let him answer, of course. I notice calls come day and night, middle of the night, midnight, 8 p.m., 8:30, 4 a.m., et cetera. And I always think to myself, you would never call any business in the world. You wouldn't even think that they're open, you know. But we have made ourselves available for years, day in and day out, 24/7. I even remember taking a phone call repetitiously. This woman, her phone was cutting out. It was several years ago, and she had started walking here. She didn't know us, had never introduced herself, and her husband had some issues because she was now listening and following. So she decided to just start walking. So in the wee hours of the morning, she had called and left a message. It was 3 a.m. that she would see us. When she saw us, she was walking from Colorado. And so hours later, I'm trying to get a hold of her. She had left a choppy number, so I'm trying to figure it out, etc. We have, and he has, handled so many insane, crazy situations and phone calls in all hours of the night. So thank you for asking respectfully, what is the best time to call you, Elder?
To call me?
Uh-huh. Yes,
I get very few people that call me directly. They call the ministry. They call the dining hall, and they leave their numbers. So, again, it should be the same respect for the people that are in there. There's no reason to be calling, you know, it after 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock at night or 5:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning. It's just, like Sister Ashley said, you know, during the normal daylight hours, like, you know, because we don't need no call. Nobody's going to be up to talk to you anyway at 12 o'clock at night or 1:30 in the morning, just an answering machine. So, but I will get your message and I'll give you a call when I get it.
Hallelujah. So, all right, I think we're caught up thanks to our behind the scenes highlighting questionnaire. So to the man who asked about his daughter covering her head, I noticed a pattern of questions much like yours, which tells me I need to do a video, sir, on how to tie head coverings. I'm sure you could find it out there, but I like to also give the people who are interested in how we tie our daughter's head covers. I have some. She has a daughter. So I'm noticing a pattern, and I guarantee you in the upcoming months, we will give you a great video of what to do with their children's heads. So if you're listening, Sister Tamika and Ajali, you are the pick for that video. Hallelujah. I love to do that. Use the strength right where they're needed. So thank you for answering the questions, Elder Becker. Sister Lisa and Sister Diane, shalom and greetings to you and to Praiseland. Bless you. KJB 94 TV, I'm a fan of your patron idea. So if you would like to pursue that, you got my vote. How about you? All right. Hallelujah. I saw the video that was asking. All right. So I'll put that little plug in there. How about, I know each ministry and each assembly, not even just Straightway, just all across the world have so many different ways of doing things. And as you said earlier in the show, we do things with such simplicity. How about ordaining elders why are we not chieftains and superiors and generals and all those?
Well, simply because it's biblical language. It tells us who the appointed, the authority figures are, the male authority figures in the Bible. So we just follow the tenets and the mandates of the word. These people can make up all the stuff that they want, but again, if it's outside the guidelines of the word, nobody's going to receive it. And then also you have the ones that do use the authority that's established in the Bible, but they don't care the authority that's in the word. So, yeah, we stick to what the word says. We always have. We always will, because that's where our safety is.
It was very anointed when you were ordained. I was here to witness it when you went from brother to elder. It's a lot of responsibility. I was there for your husband's ordination as well as my own, who's just a deacon, not an elder, as her or he may be. What is the role of an elder really like? And this, I know that's kind of like a personal question, but how much sincerity you take in it and your responsibility?
Well, the biggest thing that, I mean, it's a very, I don't want to say fearful in the wrong type of, spiritual, connotation. It's regard. It's a reverence, because you're dealing with people's souls. So every time that I'm personally giving counsel to somebody direction, I want to make sure that I'm speaking from, not from my own opinion or from my own thoughts, but also, on the word, right? Because that's the only thing that's going to give people true direction, true freedom. There is that always in the back of my mind when I speak to people. Also, as an elder, it's also coming into, biblically, because you're in the place of a judge. So you have to decide matters. You have to learn to be absolutely biased, because otherwise you'll be chargeable to the Most High. So each and every situation, circumstance, Yah has put you in a position. He's placed you there for His needs and not yours. So you do the best. You better do the best you can at the performance of that place that He's put you in.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you for that regard. It's definitely evident in your life. And any questions
from you? I wanted to know, how many people have you actually had show up one when they had unannounced, and how do you handle those situations?
Actually, it's dwindled down greatly over the years, but in years prior, yes, we've had more than our share of people just show up. A lot of people see the community environment. They know that it's a place that they really want to be. They understand the necessity of it, even this day and age, right? Then you have, and so they actually make honest inquiries. How can I become part of a community? Of course, they'll be part of the ministry before they become part of the community, but they actually are sincere. They have a desire, but there's others that believe they're just afforded a right to be here. So they'll just, because they've, we show a lot of love here. Okay. So people take that in the wrong, they take it in the wrong regard. They think that that's just giving them an open doorway to do whatever they want to do. So they might just think, well, because Christianity would just accept you coming in, or, you just take them as they are type of mentality. But yeah, we've actually had people showing up here with their cars fully packed and they're going to move on the community. We've had people get dropped off in town and calls and say they're here and we got to come pick them up. We had people show up the front gate in their vehicles, and they just expect a place to live because, well, they're going to show us how good they are. They're going to work every day and do everything else that's required to be convince us that they can be a part of us. But thankfully, it's been a long time since that happened. A long time.
Anything else? That's a good one. So I have a couple of different thoughts. Let's finish that, Elder, by saying, a lot of people just don't understand, and rightfully so, because they don't live together like we do, why it's important for you to contact first. Like, why? Why do I got to call you? What's that deal?
Well, again, I mean, it's not Christianity. You just don't walk up to the door. They're looking for people coming because they're trying to build memberships. Now, to this, Yah adds daily to this ministry, such as should be saved. They come to hear this truth. We don't go to you. You come to us. So in doing so, we're going to make sure that you're right for us, not us for you, if you understand what I'm saying. So, yeah, we have to make sure that everybody that comes here is ready to be here.
Ready to love and be loved.
Yes, absolutely.
And represent. Hallelujah. Thank you. And thank you, Sister Alex, for saying that there's a lot of slip-on simple hand wraps, like no tying at all. You've done that with your daughter. So thank you. That's very good. Signing up for Patreon, Elder, is that considered an offering, especially during feast times, if I sign up for Patreon?
It's outside the feast offering, if that's what they're talking about. It's actually showing support for the word that you're being fed. That's what Patreon is all about. So
supporting the ministry, not
the yes, ministry. Absolutely.
So what is a feast offering?
It can be money. It can be gold, silver. It can be the Bible talks about livestock. You know, they brought their sheep, their cows, their chickens, whatever the case may be, their lambs. Yeah, they're all considered offerings, and we'll see them all gladly at your hand.
Hallelujah. So if money is tight, what's the best way, especially at Tabernacles? And I can refer to the woman who gave her last mite in the word, but what's the best way if money's tight?
Yeah, we understand people do that situation, and there should be still the give of yourself. I mean, if you can't give material goods, at least give of yourself. Do what you can to be a benefit here, to be a help here. And then in the future, as things build, you can go ahead and contribute your offerings at that time.
So if I am a woman, single, or even a male that might be listening, that's a man, who do I give my offering to if it is monetary when I get to the feast?
Pastor is pretty much directed myself, Sister Carol, Sister Nellie, or Sister Summer, or himself.
All right, and if you don't know any of those, at least you saw Elder tonight, and you will meet those, or even strive to meet them when you get here, the names that he spoke. So, all right, thank you for that answer. Here's a good question. What's the best way to approach someone, or if you should even approach them, new or unknown to the land, that is doing something that you know is not the straightway way at the feast? If this person doesn't live here, what is her or his best way to stop something that might be inappropriate?
I mean, especially if the people that live here, the people that know our customs and know the way we conduct ourselves here, those that have been associated with us for many years and know what manner of people we are, it's your due diligence to go ahead and take care of that situation, remedy that situation so it doesn't continue. Things sometimes need to be said. I mean, people do have a tendency to get out of control. They get out of hand. They may not understand that we have a different manner of conduct here than they may have outside these gates. So if you're a part of this ministry and you know how we conduct ourselves here, then it behooves you to go ahead and take care of the situation. If you can't handle it, if you're a brother or sister that's unfamiliar with the best way to do it, then you come to somebody that lives here, and you notify them, and then we'll take care of the situation.
All right. So there's no laundry facility used during our feast. So if you were going in the laundry room or climbing through the window even, I'm being funny, but things can happen doing the thing that you ought not do. That's one of the things that are just a tradition here, that those of us even here refrain from using our laundry facility to make ourselves just as the other believers and visitors, so that no one is getting the use of it, because we just can't handle that many people, that much laundry. So we have a laundry facility in town, two of them. So take your pick and pick a great day and get some appropriate directions on how to get there and get back. We are in the country. So speaking of country, Elder, we're country, we're backwoods, we're slow speech sometimes, we're out of the technology loop, and that is considered, innumerable times, it's considered to be weakness and ignorant in discernment, but it is far from the truth because we walk with Yah. Talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. The more disconnected we can get, I think the better off we would be. You know, this life offers so many distractions, especially when you're in the city environments and when you're in the hubbub of the world. So the more you can get removed from it, like the more you can come out, the more peace you're going to find, the more contentment and rest you're going to find, at least in your mental state. So, so the less distractions, the less you have to do with the technology. Hey, I'm all for it. I'm telling you, I am all for it. So,
Glory
to God. Yeah, you got it. Hallelujah. Hear the wind blow, right?
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Any questions?
I wanted to add, the best thing to time for Elder Rufus and I is when we first came to Straightway, and we stayed for 3 weeks. And we could not get a home visit for 3 weeks. the outside world, and we were connected to our people. And when we finally left here and all the messages started coming through, you know, that's when the challenge came in. So if you come here for the feast, your phone, you may not get phone reception, but don't stress out at all, because it can be a beautiful thing.
We live here and we may not get it, right? You ever walking around like that commercial?
I tell you what, it'll be a real test of character, though, because people are so engaged and going like this all the time, and all of a sudden the thing disappears. Then what are you going to do? You know, you're going to find out if you got some spirits or something working. Hey, you know what? I was thinking about something as we were talking that I do want to address because it came into my mind. And this isn't talked about very much. I don't think it's ever been brought up, but I have dealt with people personally in the past. And, you know, the Bible talks about that the priests were not supposed to enter into the tabernacle under the influence of alcohol, any way, shape, or form. In fact, it was a death penalty. And the sad state of affairs, though, in several feasts over the years, I've actually personally had to deal with people that have come up here intoxicated, okay, as coming into a service, whether it's a nighttime service or whatever the case may be. So not only are you putting yourself in peril, but it's also a very great disrespect to actually enter, set foot in here intoxicated. So for all those that I know, the sisters listening, some brothers, but you pass that around. Your alcohol can wait until after. You want to be prepared in your mind to receive the word, in your heart to receive the word. You can do all the entertainment, all the drinking stuff at the appropriate times. We understand that this is a feast, but let's keep it at the appropriate times.
Thank you for that admonishment, Elder. Very sobering. Bless you. So we also don't even bring a saint that has passed away even into the tabernacle. So there's many ways that we honor this building.
We do. Yeah, we understand, you know, this is where we gather, okay? This isn't the churches the world talks about. This is not our church. This is, as Pastor said years ago, is that we got so large we can't go into, you know, somebody's living room or one of the trailers, so we had to build this building to assemble. But we're in here. You know, because the saints are in it, the structure becomes an environment for holiness. So you need to honor that holiness when you come in here. That means that you come in here with great respect and honor, knowing that you're coming to where the presence of the Most High is going to be and His people are at.
Hallelujah. And what I mean by that is a funeral. We wouldn't hold a funeral in here. So if you didn't understand, we don't bring a saint that's passed away. That simply means a funeral. All right, so a lot of people are really being edified, and I hope that we can just continue to come up with a few more things to keep him going. We don't want to send him home early, so if you have anything else, let's wrap it up.
Elder Becker don't talk much. Anybody you know me knows I don't say very little.
Hallelujah.
Which is remarkable that I get put in a position where I have to talk to people 8 hours a day. That's the craziest thing I ever think I heard of.
Hallelujah. So here's a question that says, how come you all will not have mentally ill or handicapped here?
That's, I don't know if that's really exact. We've had people that have had problems mentally in the past. We've actually done deliverance with people in the past. But if that is something that you're dealing with, we find out that it's more convenient outside of the feast days. So if there's somebody that has a need or is in that type of condition, let's have them come during the time where, you know, it's just a smaller group of people. It isn't so challenging and so overpowering because we can do more personal time with you. If you say, pick, you know, we can come for Shabbat or something like that. We can deal more on a personal level, get more free time to speak with you, that kind of thing.
Very good. So explain personal time, because I'm your neighbor. Literally, I could throw a rock at your window. I wouldn't, but you give so much personal time to saints continually, weekend after weekend. Explain kind of what that is like, because that's what you're meaning for someone that might be mentally challenged to be able to experience the care or the need that we could give them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we like to be able to take, during the feast, you don't have that really that ability because you're so engaged in so many activities and have so many things going on. So outside of them times we don't have so many people here, you can actually sit down on a more personal level. You can do a little bit more, you know, discernment about what's going on. You can dig a little bit deeper into somebody and actually afford them better help and better care. I mean, outside, because when you have so many things going on, you can't put your whole self into trying to actually help somebody.
Very good. Thank you for clearing that up. So I hope that clears up anyone that may believe that no one of that mental capacity would be allowed or physical capacity, because that is not true. And we have helped so many people that are desperate for deliverance, and a lot of times just very captive in their minds from the enemy. What do you say? Any questions?
There's one in the chat room. If she was delivered, what is a good fasting time, and does it make it easier? So can you talk about fasting and how it correlates to the
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that if you want to actually, I mean, okay, so first of all, you have to understand the keys to the kingdom. I have to tell a lot of people this is binding and loosening. If you really want to truly get set free and make it easier on yourself, right, and make it more difficult for these spirits to actually inhibit you or inhabit you, to get them all quicker, yeah, fast. Break down, because when you're fast, you're actually getting more in tune with your spirit, you're actually getting more clarity in your mind, you're actually giving the spirits less influence and control over your flesh. That's where they dwell. That's the thing that they like to have the control in, and your mind. And then the binding and loosening. I tell people all the time, because it's amazing how many people don't engage in binding and loosening. They don't even understand the principles about it. But if you have a certain, like, fear, okay, you have a spirit of fear, right? And fear is plaguing you. Fear is going after you. You want to start hitting that. You want to bind that spirit continually throughout. It just isn't a one-time thing in the morning, you know, and then you're done. It's warfare, people. So you have to keep engaged continually. So if you're dealing, again, with the spirit of fear, you want to bind that spirit of fear in the name of Yahshua, in the name of Jesus. Bind that spirit, inhibit its ability to get a more influence over you. Start and bring the battle back to the gate. And then you lose the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, because it is a war. So every time that you do something that caters to the spirit, you're actually helping to drop down and defeat the spirit that is working in you. So when time the deliverance comes, it's going to come out easier. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
I hope so.
Thank you. There's one that says, if we know someone suffering with severe depression but willing to receive help, should we invite them? I assume invite them over or to a feast. Not sure, but invite them. Someone suffering.
It'd be somebody to actually have to talk to get a little bit more discern about what they're talking about, because some people's idea of what a great depression may be somebody else's idea, but it's not. Because people will, overemphasize what they actually got going on and draw more attention to themselves because they think they need a more immediate help. So it would be actually somebody that I actually have to talk to personally, see where they're at. But to answer the question, I don't know what, when you're here, you're in an environment where we can watch you and we can help, if you're really sincere about getting deliverance and getting these things taken care of, is probably the best environment to come to, with deep depression or whatever the case may be. You just have to be willing when you get here to get freed from it, because if you're not willing to get freed from it, you just want to stay in your depression, then stay where you're at.
So what does bearing one another's burdens mean, and how do we here on this land do that?
Well, we shoulder the duties. I mean, we shoulder, we help each other where there's a need. Somebody else may come in and fill in. If somebody is in need of deliverance or need of prayer, we esteem each other in greater love's sake, and that's part of sharing one another's burdens. So we'll get down and just be our brother's helper, whatever the case of need. You have people come and ask you that, I need some prayer, I need some deliverance, can you fast for me? I need to break the bonds of wickedness. Or it can be something physical, a chore. If you see a brother struggling over here and you can stop what you're doing, go help her sister, they need extra help doing dishes or whatever. There's all ways to share one another's burdens, spiritually, physically, all kind of aspects and avenues.
Good answer, because we do live together in common unity.
Yes.
So I know I can't make it to this feast, but how would you advise me to prepare to make it to the very next feast? I would consider the next feast Passover. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
And how would I, or when would I call you? I wouldn't call you now because we're in the middle of fall feast.
No, when I tell people, when they call really early, I always tell them, I tell you what, we don't even have the books out because we keep a log here. just keep watching and watch what the shepherd does. When pastor starts talking more about the feast and the feast calendar, and he'll put it out there when it's time for you to start calling, okay? But in the interim, like through the dead season, gives you plenty of time to get to go back in the archives, watch how we've conducted ourselves in the Passover, what happens here if you're actually invited to come, learn about what it means, study about the Passover, so when it comes, you can really get the nuances of what you're going to about to partake in.
I think I wanted to go back to deliverance a little bit, ask about mass deliverance. What is it and what is it like?
Okay, mass deliverance. I mean, we use that term from years ago, but it's an assembly involved deliverance. So for those of you that don't know, we will have one evening where we will call for mass deliverance, and that will be here to be named. But you come up here in the assembly, and what happens is Pastor Dow will go through a bunch of prayers, of renouncements, of breaking curses, about a bunch of other things to break down the enemy's legal holds, for your repentance and repeating confessions. And then he starts calling the spirits out. And then hopefully that if there's something that's working in you, it's the best time in the world to go ahead and get freed. It really is, because you got plenty of help.
Thank you. And, one difference is some people might hesitate to wonder if our deliverance is real or et cetera, all those fears that, you encounter when you engage against the enemy's kingdom. But one huge difference is that you get it's based on you. Your deliverance is based on you, not
exactly.
Just, please talk about that.
No, exactly. I mean, if your heart is not completely made up that you want to get freed from this thing, then you will not get freed of it. There has to be something that goes down to that level that says, I want to be free. I hate this sin. I abhor this sin. I am finished with it. And you have to be fully persuaded, have a made up mind that you are done and finished with this spirit. Okay, so you go after it. You have the attitude. You have the determination. You want to get free. And so for some reason, you only get part of it or not enough of it. Don't quit. Don't stop. You have to go out. It's war again, people. You have to keep fighting and warring and scratching, because the whole object is not only the reason for deliverance, you want to get yourself clean and clear for the king. Okay, you want to get yourself purified, spotless, without wrinkle or blemish. That's all about getting that sin out of you. That's what these spirits are.
Hallelujah. So next question, how does a man present his offering to Yahweh on the three appointed times that he's supposed to? By fire, like the scripture says, or by eating the offering?
That's a good question. I haven't really looked into it before. Honestly, I'm not going to give you an honest answer. I'm not that well-versed with that.
Very good that they would see a balance in our elder not just throwing words or scriptures out, because you could have used that opportunity to ramble. So we had a question from a sister who's, yes, your date is wrong. I'm not sure if it was a typo, if you're actually just following us at a distance that you wouldn't understand your date is wrong. So for the Feast of Trumpets, it starts on September 30th, she says, no ma'am, 28th. But she says, do we blow the shofar that evening or in the morning of the first? So it's tomorrow. That's the Feast of Trumpets for us. It's tomorrow.
Yeah, it comes in an evening. We're going to go out there and we're going to sound in trumpets with the blowing of the shofar. We're going to rein in this feast, this memorial feast, this day of trumpets.
Hallelujah. Simple enough. Rejoice, celebrate, make a bunch of joyful noise to the Father.
And it is a day of a holy convocation, so we're going to have... we'll have a service or a reading of the Torah, as we normally do, according to the mandate of the Word.
Hallelujah. We have so many people, I don't mean in our chat room or even listening today, that follow us at a distance, and I take some of those calls. You can tell by their speech, as he said earlier, if you ask the right question, you can really get to the bottom of things. Why do we, we promote unity, that's pretty self-explanatory, but why is it so important that you detect in the speech of individuals that they know the feast days and the days and the how-tos and all the answers? Because if you're close enough to us, you would get those answers.
Yeah, I mean, because these are people that are actually invested in themselves, okay? They're actually, now you do have those that are coming off in more of a raw form, right? But the intent is still there. They still want to be particular. They'll actually tell you they don't know everything about it. but they want to learn. So they have a desire to actually learn and learn with us as we learn and grow. So you have both sides of the spectrum.
Hallelujah. Do you see unity in the brethren of the ministry?
Absolutely. Probably stronger than it's ever been. The ministry, you know, first that which is natural and that which is spiritual. I'm just going to say that because even the community here in almost 20 years that I've been here, even the face of the community has changed. And I think that's a reflection also of what we've done spiritually here. And, of course, that's all under, you know, the shepherd pastor Dow.
I'm just looking at a question in the chat room. Question is, so everyone walks around with their sword or their gun. Now, are there any safety or emergency procedures if someone decides to go for a home back?
Yeah.
Especially with young children present, the question is.
Yeah, actually, we have a very well-staffed security team that's here, and we have a bunch of brethren that are very well-versed in handling the situation. First of all, I will put this out here, though, and this is a reminder that Pastor Dahl has already spoken about this, and it needs to be heeded, but if you're out there just pulling your firearm out, or you're brandishing your handgun, you want to pass around and show such and such, right away, that's a ticket to get your, you know, self put out of the feast. We don't do that. You're allowed to carry them, but you're not allowed to sit there and handle them, play with them, do everything unless you're back on the range. And let's hope that it would never come to the incident that something like this would actually have to be addressed or acted against.
Is it true that animals will be sacrificed in Jerusalem tomorrow and we'll straightway do it?
And they may in Jerusalem tomorrow. They probably do every day, but straightway sure as hell ain't going to do it. Okay.
Oh, that's a common question and concern amongst the unknown. Hallelujah. Elder Rufus says there is plenty of security on the land during the feast. Elder Rufus is listening tonight. Elder?
Hey, hallelujah. Bless you, friend.
Hallelujah. So your questions have slowed down. I'm at the end of mine. Do you have something else? It's been wonderful having you, Elder. There's going to be a bunch of hallelujahs. And then someone's going to think of their question when we cut off the live feed. So thank you so much for your time. Is there any other admonishment, any other thoughts that the feast kick off for tomorrow? You gave us the admonishment to keep the Father first, to remember Him, remember why we're gathering. Anything else?
No, actually, no. I think it was what needed to be said was said.
Hallelujah. I do too. So we get some, I always love hearing from Elder Beckers, and I hope that many of you were very encouraged by his presence, because now you know his face. Some of you have talked to him, now you know him and see him. So yes, the saints on the land will be very busy, each of us individually during the feast, elder even more so. If you need an elder or a pastor, please approach their wife for an appropriate time. That's just honorable, so that you're not, as a woman, seeking out any man's counsel or advice, even if you are single. And just ask around, trying to find his wife, trying to get to him if you need him, and they will ask him when is a good time or if it is good. So off topic, a brother is asking, Elder, having trouble getting off of the Sabbath, should I find another job? I said, should I find another job? He didn't say that. Hold on. Find another job to take care of my responsibilities. Any suggestions?
That's directed towards me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I assume so. There's been quite a few brothers that are reaching out tonight.
Yeah, actually, that has been a question that I've had to deal with a lot in the past. And you can tell the ones that actually have the determined. What people do a lot of times when they call in is they already have the answer that they need to hear, and they really don't need me to give me. All I do is affirm them what they already know to be the truth, okay? So they, you know, I know I'm not supposed to be working on the job, and I need to get off the Sabbath. I need to find, brother, out of your own mouth, man. You know, you've already spoken what you need to do, so just go out and get it done. I mean, if the Father honors faith, He honors you keeping His commandments. And if that's what it takes, going to work at a 7-Eleven, as long as you're keeping Him first and foremost and keeping His commandments and being righteous before Him, that's what He's looking for you to do. Whatever comes after that, you have no idea, I mean, what He may do for you just for being honorable and keeping His commandments.
Hallelujah. Reminder again, less than 24 hours from now, you must call the dining hall number, which is the number behind Pastor Charles Dow's videos on YouTube. You must call it if you want to come to the feast. You will speak to him first, and there will be no exceptions. If you don't call by tomorrow night, you will not be accepted. And a sister says, what's the problem with women wearing makeup? The problem is not the makeup at all, actually. It's the heart that's trying to pretend to be someone else. And when you paint your face, there's something about you that you avoided and that you don't know about. So it's really a sin issue. Wearing makeup, I could put highlighters on my eyelids. It's not a sin. I could put bloodroot. We have it out here growing. I could, you know, really do some Indian marks. It's not a sin. There's something in you that desires to cover up who you really are, or if it is just vanity, etc. So I just encourage you to really search out who you are and be there before the Father. Not a pretender in any way. All right, so thanks for everything, Elder. Thank you so much for your time and wisdom and all that good stuff. Everyone is sending their hallelujahs and their bless yous.
Hey, glory bless you, saints.
It's very precious.
Hallelujah.
Say goodbye to our guest, Elder Gretchen.
Bless you, Elder Becker, and thank you so much for your precious time and your counsel and your wisdom. And it never goes unnoticed. We know that you do so much behind the scenes, and we really love you and we appreciate all that you do.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Signing off. Shalom. Shalom. Bless
you. Bless you all.